so it isn't mainly about me, but my friend. But I was there, so here it goes. We lived in a place that was mainly a peaceful little town and neighborhood surrounded by a vast forest to the side and a small one to the other side, and it's pretty much straightforward. I'm going to call my friend George. George and I would sometimes sneak out to go camping when the time was just right and the weather was right. This is probably where I made the mistake of deciding to come with them. I'll never forget the day George decided to sneak out and go camping in the forest near our town. I was surprised when he woke me up at dawn, his eyes shining with excitement. "Come on, mate," he whispered. "Let's get out of here and leave the world behind for a bit." I groggily got out of bed and then followed him to the woods. We made our way through the trees, the sun rising over the canopy above. After a few hours of walking, we had finally reached a perfect spot. A clearing surrounded by tall trees, a babbling brook running through the center. We set up our tent, built a fire, and then cooked some breakfast. As we sat there, munching on our food and enjoying the peaceful atmosphere, I heard a loud crash. I looked up to see one of the taller trees swaying violently in the wind. The gust was strong, and I could hear the sound of branches creaking and snapping. But then, just as quickly as it started, the wind died down and everything was just quiet again. I turned to George, who was watching me with a concerned expression. "Did you hear that?" I asked. He nodded. "Yeah, I thought it was just the wind at first, but then I heard those footsteps too." I frowned. Footsteps? George nodded again. For about 2 seconds, I thought it was just my imagination, but then I heard them again. We exchanged a look, and without saying another word, we got up and started packing up our gear. We decided to investigate the strange noise further. As we walked deeper into the forest, we heard nothing out of the ordinary, just the usual sounds of birds chirping and leaves rustling. But then, after about 10 minutes of walking, we heard a new noise. Branches breaking and snapping beneath something heavy. We quickened our pace, our hearts racing with excitement and a hint of fear. Suddenly, a small car came flying through the air, crashing into the trees and then crashing into the ground with a deafening thud. We froze in shock, staring at the wreckage before us. Without a word, we turned around and started sprinting back to our campsite, grabbing our gear as we went. We didn't stop running until we were back in the safety of our tent, surrounded by the familiar sounds of nature. "What the actual fuck?" I started out while running aside George. As we caught our breath, I turned to George and asked, "What do you think just happened?" George shook his head. "I have no idea, but I think it's time we get the hell out of here." We quickly packed up our campsite and made our way back to town, not stopping until we were safely back into our beds trying to make sense of what had just happened. I'm glad I'm even alive, because that car fucking flew. And when I say flew, I mean that car flew right out of the tree line at a height that had to be at least 50 feet up or so, and it landed 30 feet away. So to whoever did that or whatever did that, we don't want to see you again. I'm a 21-year-old man living in Orlando, Florida, chasing a music career. Recently, a close friend of mine passed away, and it's really made me think about a lot of the memories we shared. His name was Jack. Jack and I and my other high school friends, who I'll refer to as Joe and Ian, would always go out late at night and do the stupidest shit together. We liked to drive fast, get high, steal street signs, anything stupid that we could laugh about later, really. Jack was the most kind, strong, funny, and emotionally intelligent man I've ever gotten the opportunity to know. I would love to tell you about all our little funny adventures, but that's not what this channel is for. With that being said, long live Jack, and let's get into the story. To set the scene, I was probably a junior in high school in 2019 when the story takes place, living in Western Massachusetts. It was starting to get warm out, but it was still brisk. I believe it was around May. Me, my friend Jack, his girlfriend Joe, and Ian were all hanging out in Jack's basement. We were bored out of our minds and had nothing to do. We kept trying and trying to figure out how we could have fun, when Ian then suggested that we explore the old abandoned buildings on Mount Tom. For context, there have been many stories about these buildings. People would visit during the day and find creepy graffiti, burnt out tea candles in pentagram formations, and sometimes even graffiti with their own full government names. We decided to visit at night. Jack packed a machete and a metal pipe as we got in Jack's truck, that we lovingly named the Red Rocket, and we then headed to the back of Mount Tom, where the road to the buildings was located. We exited the truck, Jack grabs his weapons, and we start up the closed road. There are dense woods on both sides of the road and an overall ominous vibe due to the lack of lighting. The moon was especially bright that night, which allowed us to navigate the road more easily with our flashlights. A quarter of the way up, I hear a low ringing sound coming from up the mountain that no one else heard. Maybe my mind was playing tricks. Who knows? Halfway up, we saw some graffiti that had made us laugh. We had a friend who we'll call John Evans, and the graffiti read, "John Evans is gay." I want to state that I've never even been homophobic, but our buddy's full name and graffiti paired with the language used caught us off guard and really made us all laugh. A little further up, the graffiti got a little darker. Some of it would just say one of our names, some of it would say we're being watched, and some of it depicted some pretty extreme violence. The one that stood out the most read, "Don't turn around. Worst case scenario, you die," with a smiley face. We brushed it off as we were fairly well known in our area, and really anyone could have spray painted our names on the ground, especially because we had been talking about doing this for a long time. A little bit further up, we find the path through the woods that leads to the ski lodge. We hike through the overgrown, unmaintained path and come out on the other side to the main buildings. There's one directly in front of us, one behind us to the right, and a drained swimming pool on our direct right, as well as more buildings a little ways away diagonally right. I turned on my phone flashlight and put it forward, and immediately realized that we needed to leave. Directly in front of me in the doorway of the building we were going to enter first was the silhouette of a large man. I mean, he was really big. Tall, wide, and even bigger than Jack, who was the largest in our group. The man went from one side of the doorway to the other, and then crouched down to hide like he was going to wait for us to walk in to then attack us in a closed space with no windows and no exit. Ian and I were the only ones who saw him. We then turned around and told everyone else. Now, Jack, being the badass he was, told us to turn around and start walking out while he would walk backwards behind us to keep watch on the building. We went back through the dark trail and got on the road, and we started heading down the road and kind of all just laughed about the situation. We kept saying, "Probably just a crackhead or just a tweaker, or maybe it's just some homeless guy." We thought that we were being stupid for being that scared by what was more than likely just a homeless man trying not to have his shelter invaded, until we heard the footsteps. They were soft at first, distant, coming from the woods on our left. We figured it was an animal until they got closer. It was clearly the sound of multiple people walking in pace with us. Then the sound came from the right as well. We then knew we were being followed. Jack's girlfriend then started crying, and we did our best to comfort her, but we knew how badly this could turn out. We were now all on the verge of panic. Out of nowhere, Jack tells us to run. He yelled out my name and then threw his truck keys to me, probably because he's the only one armed, dual-wielding a machete and a baseball bat. I then passed the keys to Ian mid-run. We were all full-on sprinting down this mountain, and the footsteps were too. We were terrified that the people behind the tree line would make it to the truck before we would, but the second we got to the truck, the footsteps just stopped. We jumped in the truck, forded out of there, putting as much distance as possible between us and the mountain. After about 5 minutes, Jack then calmly said, "Hey, sorry about that, guys," to which we then responded, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Jack then said, "You know, that little near-death experience." I'm convinced to this day that if Jack wasn't there, we would all be dead. I think we were allowed to leave because of Jack's imposing size, along with the machete and bat that he had decided to bring on a whim. Jack never loses a fight, especially when the safety of his friends is at stake. He's the most genuine, caring, and fierce person I've ever met, and my life will never be the same now that he's left us for his next adventure. The building's mystery burned down one night a few years back. and I know now that something sinister was definitely going on at the buildings on that mountain. I just don't know what. At the age of 19, my friends and I were walking home from a party. A lot of people had gotten drunk. A lot of people probably got DUIs that night, unfortunately. I purposefully didn't bring my own car for that reason alone. You won't see me getting any DUI. Anyhow, the walk home was a good 20 minutes or so from our friend's house who had this party. Along the way, we had took a shortcut through the public park. For some reason, we thought that the park might be fun to check out. Now remember, we were all pretty drunk walking home. One of our friends was sober just because he didn't really like the taste of alcohol. Plus, it's always good to have that one friend who's sober to help us out. Anyway, as we were chatting about our drinks and the party, our sober friend then stops and looks scared. We turned around and acknowledged him. What's wrong? We ask him. That man straight ahead doesn't look good, he says. We look in front of us, and it's like something right out of a horror movie. A man was dressed in all black, and he was wearing a white mask, like one of those ladies from the Stranger movies. But what was different was that he was wearing a top hat. He then showed us something. The man had chains. He then rushed at us. We started to run away as this man came rushing at us with his chains. A bunch of us fell down in the process because, well, we were drunk. The man then grabbed Sarah and then forcefully picked her up and then wrapped the chain around her throat. He was choking her with it. We could hear her gasping for air. Well, our sober friend then ran up and then tackled the man. He fell to the ground and we grabbed Sarah and started to make a run for it. The man then quickly got up and now tackled our sober friend. He started punching him in the face. I remember our friend Jessica picked up the chain and then cracked him in the back of the skull with it. The man fell down. At that moment, we honestly thought that we might have killed him. We were freaking out now, thinking that because we were drunk, the police would think we did it on purpose, that we killed someone on purpose and we would be going to jail. Well, our sober friend told us it was all in self-defense and we would be okay. But before we could relax, the man stood up and similar to how the Undertaker would sit up right during a fight after taking a big move. The man got up and then took off his top hat. Then he pulled out a power saw out from his jacket. We all just froze in horror. Now this man who came at us with a chain now has a power saw. I didn't even know you could fit a power saw in your jacket. The man then grabbed our friend Mason, who was about to do God knows what with that saw, when Mason then kicked him right in the groin. We heard the man fall on the ground, and we even heard him cry in pain. Thinking fast, our sober friend then took the chains and then tied the man's feet. We then ran out of the park. Luckily, headlights were then seen in the distance. It was like some miraculous miracle. A police officer had stopped the car and noticed we were all drunk. Thinking he was going to have us take some sort of sobriety test, we tried our best to explain what happened. Our sober friend took the lead and then explained everything that happened, and he even told him that the man was chained up and he was in danger. The officer followed us to the park, but to our horror, of course the man in the chains were now gone. To this day, I really doubt that the officer believed a word of what we said. He probably thought we were just some dumb drunks making up stories for fun. But this 100% actually happened to us. I'm absolutely terrified to think of what would have happened to us if we didn't have Tim, our sober friend, with us to think fast. Both my friends Sarah and Mason would probably be dead, and the rest of us would be seriously hurt too. Anyone who wears a white mask in the dead of night carrying chains and a power saw definitely doesn't have good intentions. I don't know what the hell that man's problem was or what his plan was, but I hope I never see his crazy ass again. The story is a few years old. I was out of town for work. I was tired of eating out all the time, and I went to the local Walmart to try and buy some healthy food for the week. I'm a 6'3" Hispanic male with a large build. Not very many things intimidate me, but this particular night had me reassessing my safety. My first stop was at the Walmart deli. I had ordered 3 pounds of Black Forest ham. While I was waiting for the lady to slice the meat, Another lady had approached the counter. She knew I was waiting, so it surprised me when she began asking me about cheese. I said, "No thanks, just the meat." She looked at me quizzically and then said, "Cheese?" I then said, no thank you." She looked back over at the lady slicing my order, then looked back at me again, this time cocking her head to the side, and once again said, "Cheese?" This time even louder. Other people were now looking at us. I took a step back and leaned in closer to her, thinking maybe she didn't hear me the first time. I then made sure to enunciate my words. No cheese. Less loud, but definitely more assertive this time. She just shook her head, threw her hands in the air, and then walked away. I'd like to say that was just the first weird exchange, but my adventure continued. After getting my ham, I began walking towards the coffee aisle. I noticed someone behind me. Normally, I keep to myself, but the only reason I noticed this gentleman was because he was easily 6 inches taller than me. It's very rare to run into someone taller than me. As I moved along a different aisle, I had noticed the guy moved along with me. Every aisle I went to, he was right behind me. At one point, he was even getting close enough that he was in my personal bubble, not really doing anything and never making eye contact with me. I work out a lot in my spare time, especially since I'm on the road a lot for work. It helps keep me out of trouble, especially since I used to be a bar fighter. I could tell just from looking at him from my peripheral vision that not only was he taller than me, but he was also much more built than me. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought he was a bodybuilder. Now, all this happened before the whole TikTok prank era. If it happened today, I would have thought I was being pranked. But at the time, I didn't know what to think. Was this guy checking me out? Was he sizing me up for a fight? I was on my toes and I didn't know what to do. He had followed me throughout the whole store. Even when I tried to lose him, he just walked faster to catch up to me. Just before I was about to confront him, a small elderly black lady came around the aisle and started yelling, "There you are! Why'd you wander off?" The demeanor of the gentleman, who I now just realized was just a child, completely changed. "Oh, sorry, Mama. I was just looking for something." This guy, who I thought was a grown man whom I was ready to defend myself from, turned out to be just a teenage kid just out shopping with his mother. I checked out with my stuff and then walked to my car. Looking back at that Walmart, I thought to myself, yeah, I'm never coming back to that Walmart after midnight ever again. The story happened to me a couple of years ago when I was maybe about 16 years old. I'm a 5'4" girl for reference. I was out walking with my golden retriever, who was only about a year old, so still a puppy and just excited to see everyone. I had taken him on a different route than normal that day, and all was fine up until I decided to walk through a plaza. I get past the end of it, passing a busy store, when I see a man walking towards me with a really creepy smile on his face. The guy looked middle-aged and a little rough. I was weirded out since this guy I didn't know was staring directly at me and smiling. My plan was to walk the way he was going, but I didn't want to get anywhere near him. Again, I was a small girl and this guy was pretty tall and a lot heavier than me. If he tried anything, I would be done for. I quickly turned to walk away from the man, and what do you know? He turns as well and starts following me. Now I was really freaking out at this point. What was this guy's problem? Why was he looking at me like that? I didn't want to find out, so I pulled my dog along, running up to one of the stores, crying at this point. Luckily, my brother was working at the time in that store that I was right outside of, so I then called him, yelling at him to come outside. I didn't run into the store because I had my dog and they didn't allow pets. It was stupid of me not to, though. A woman had seen me crying on the phone and asked what was wrong. I told her and she said that she saw the guy following me and that she thought it was strange. She then stayed with me until my brother came outside. By then, though, the guy was long gone. Figures, though, right? After that, my brother then drove me and the dog home. I was still so paranoid by the time we got home, though. I haven't seen the creepy guy since, and I don't want to. My brother, though, on the other hand, says that he has. I've explained to him what he looks like, and he believes that he's seen him a few times around his workplace. Apparently, he walks around and just talks to himself, so clearly he isn't mentally well. I hope that that guy has gotten some help, because I was half scared to death when he followed me. I'm really thankful that my brother was working when this all happened, because I'm really not sure what I would have done. Also, my dog is now 3 years old and a lot more protective of me. He may look sweet, but I do believe he won't hesitate to bite anyone who tries to touch me, and I'm very thankful for him. Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com, or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember, to always...